a new smartphone, and it makes me just stupid.
Well, I don't know. Technology has not been my friend recently. Go from there, Trevante Harmio, Andrew Scott, Concrete Effect, and Life. I haven't done an in-studio show in a couple weeks, and I've been kind of jonesing for it. Why is there a fucking buzz? There we go. And I don't really have anything major for you. I just haven't seen you in a while. I was kind of thinking about the year in review as far as the show goes. 2013 was definitely interesting. You know, a lot of... I met some fucking badass people. I met some badass people that turned out to be kind of shitheads in the end, which is weird, you know?
I call them dick weasels.
Dick weasels. What's the female version? Cunt pickle?
this one quit.
Man, we're having all kinds of difficulty. Jesus Christ.
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
There you go. We got to get you hooked up with some better equipment, man.
Well, I need a better board for sure. This fucking...
Well, I got one, but it'll handle 24 people, but I don't think you want them. You don't want 24 people sticking around.
If I had a place to have 24 people, hell yeah, that'd be fun. Be interesting. Get a bunch of bands in here and just start screaming it at each other about set times and how big your fucking drum set is and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know. I added to it. I've added to it, actually.
You got a beast of a kit, that's for sure. Yeah, year in review thing. It was a good year. How was your year? Pretty good, I think.
It was pretty decent. It turned out way different than I thought it would.
Sure.
It really did.
Yeah, me too, I think. But I was just going over, like, you know, there's, what now, 3 days left in the year. And I've been... A couple days ago when there was like 6 days left, I was like, I should do like a top 10 favorite something, but it wasn't like, I didn't want to do a countdown, so I picked like five, like the funniest, like the meal ticket ones I said, which were like the famous people I had on. Most influential for my cause, meaning like I interviewed somebody and they're like, dude, you should talk to this person, and it just went from there. Trevor and Candies were the two. I mean, I did a Denver trip 3 days, and after that trip, in 6 weeks' time, I did like 35 shows because they were just like, this person, and then it just chain reaction kept going. You did not make the list, but you're here now because you said probably one of the things that I needed to hear the most this year, which was, we were talking about, last time you were here, you know, we're trying to talk about positivity and just life and all that kind of stuff, and I was kind of in a funk.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something about how, you know, even when you're being as positive and having as good a time as you can, you still got to remember to kind of peek your head back into the shitty part of life so you don't forget, like, when shit goes down, it won't, like, ruin your life. And I just want to tell you that I've used that sentence a lot just to help me, you know, stay balanced and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, I don't know. I appreciate that you said it. Been thinking about it a lot. And I've said it to a lot of people. I've quoted you a lot. And mostly I get back like, that fucking guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'm like, well, that's true, but it's helped me. So I was trying to help you out.
Oh, that's funny. So that's funny. Somebody quoting me, you're in trouble.
It hasn't really worked out for me, you know. But
I think my best quote is what I learned from a guy by the name of Charles Gaines. Never let anybody define you. When you let people define you or put you into a box that makes them comfortable, that screws you up. When you don't let anyone define you, that makes people feel very unsettled because, you know, human nature in America, they need to have that little box to stuff you in, you know, to, you know, whenever they think of something, you know, it's you. Or whenever they can do something different, you know, they can either use you or not use you or whatever. But never let anybody define you. Ever. Ever.
What is it that makes it so easy for people to let that happen? Because, I mean, I've been like that. I talked with an old teacher of mine a couple weeks or a month or so ago back. And I was kind of putting it on the fact that I was raised in a religious setting. And then, like, when you're not, you know, a perfect Christian or whatever, all that kind of stuff, then the world of, like, double life starts coming in, where you have to be one thing over here while you're doing whatever bullshit you're doing over here, and then you have to keep the two worlds separate. You have to remember all the lies and the inner, you know, the interwebs and all that kind of stuff. Interwebs. It's early, know, man. I'm sorry. I'm having coffee, but it's not really hitting me yet.
If you got to learn, you know, just be who you are. Religion is, you know, for most people, that's their saving grace. You know, take it for what it is. It's a philosophy. Every one of them is a philosophy. Some people, well, a lot of people take religion out of context. It is a guide map for you personally.
Right.
Personally. I don't care whether you're Christian, Muslim, into the Tao, I Ching, whatever, whatever. That is yours. That is your personal thing. Everybody else uses it for guilt and fear, and you're going to go to this, you know, some evil burning place that somebody's, you know, rotten rye bread fantasy freak out has, you know, they've drawn it up. And it to me, you know, when you die, you die. What you do on this earth in the time, you know, when I was young, I destroyed everything. Mm-hmm. Now, just step by step, day by day, you just got to take a little bit and, you know, think about it. Try and do no harm. Well, you're a human. You're going to screw that up. Cool. Because you're human. You are a human being. But just try to do no harm once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once during the day. And pretty soon that builds and builds and builds. I'm still a jackass. No matter what, you know. But at least I can admit it. I'm a jackass.
Well, and it's also one of those things where, like, if you're, you know, if you have, you know, enough of a mind of yourself to, you know, try to not do that shit all the time, even that's, like, next level in this life, I think. Like, because there's so many people that they just fucking float and traipse through life and they don't give a shit, you know, how they affect people. Or it just never occurs to them, whichever, you know, falls into, but...
It can fall into different categories, like spineless, mindless, lazy. They want everybody else to think for them. Or if they don't have a spine themselves, they'll get somebody that has a spine to protect them or do whatever. And, you know, it's all about responsibility, personal responsibility. Granted, I fail at that, too. I admit it. But it doesn't bother me. At least I learn. But most people won't take personal responsibility for what they do or what their kids do or what else. It's somebody else's fault.
And this is kind of, we're going just right where I was kind of thinking about. Like, I told you I didn't really have an agenda for you. But I feel like Rob always, you know, busts my chops about, you know, all these fucking positive and ball washing. And I'm like, I know. But it's hard, like, if you're not, you know, comfortable with somebody else, it's hard to, you know, pull out something that's, you know, uncomfortable to talk about. And actually, like, shit talk each other or bad mouth the situation or whatever, you know. I can't just do that with people I don't really know well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would do that. I would have more conflict shows if I could, but a lot of people are not down with that.
They don't know how to understand that, you know, there's a situation here. Okay, this is going to be a conflict show. Bring my best argument and my best facts to this show, because if you don't, you know, somebody might be smarter there.
Well, yeah, there's that. But then, I guess my thing is, I'm getting bothered with the fact that, you know, so many people are uncomfortable with honesty. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm Mr., you know, Jesus Christ, you know, perfect guy, you know. But I'll tell you this: like, I mean, there's very little that I wouldn't say about me if you ask, you know.
That's about the same for me.
You know, and then, like, there's only a handful of people out there that listen to this show that have been along for the entire ride. And if you have been, like, you pretty much know me. There's not really a whole lot left, you know. There's going to be more, like, you know, but it's going to be the peripheral stuff, like family stuff. And then, like, you know, just however things go for me, you know, in the coming years or whatever. But other than that, it's like, I'm like, fuck it. You know, I'll tell you my opinion on stuff. Obviously, I mean, that's what this is supposed to be. But in the last few months, you know, it's all perception and it's all, you know, fake it till you make it. And I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not trashing anybody specifically because, you know, one of them was a good buddy of mine. And we just talked about some shit that we probably you know, would probably not be conducive to his new relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, and he's a big music guy. So he took the audio and he cut whatever he wanted out of it. And I'm like, brother, I'll post it. It's fine. You know, I go, you do the work. I go, you knew what this was. And I'm just so tired of like, what is it? Why is it so hard for people to just say shit? Like, they're not going to get in trouble. You know, nobody's coming after your job. Like, what?
I don't know. It's a fear-based society. Like, in my relationship, you know, I finally got smart enough and let the woman choose me, which was the best thing in the world.
Sure.
I mean, guys that know my wife and women that know my wife, they're just like, the woman is unbelievable. You know, she's dealt with me for 19 years. Nobody can usually deal with me for more than 19 minutes.
Yeah, we're closing in on that, too. We're almost out of time.
Oh. And, you know, I was upfront a lot with my wife about who I was before we really started get together. You mm-hmm. know, I'm all these things. I'm a jackass, whatever, so on and so forth. She knows I'm a musician. She knows I'm out there and I'm around other women and all that kind of stuff.
I don't think I ever really asked you this. Like, back in the day, were you like just an ass crusher?
Oh, I was such a slut. I was such a slut. I was. I mean, if it looked good, you can bet this wolf was on it.
If it looked good.
Oh, yeah.
You have high standards.
I did. Too bad the girls that woke up next to me didn't.
Ugh. Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
So, I mean, but that makes it better automatically.
Actually, you know, a lot of guys don't understand this, but when you get together with a woman that is going to be there with you forever, she's got to be your best friend. Yeah. With mine, I mean, we're like best friends. We can do anything together. And another cool thing, this woman has worked in construction. She's worked in offices and stuff like that. She understands a man's mentality. Most right. women don't. They're trying to figure out men. No, don't try and figure them out. They just want three things. That's what makes them happy. That's what keeps them coming home.
What are the three things?
Jane Seymour said it the best. She said, if you want to keep a man around you forever, you got to be a cook in the kitchen, a lady in public, and a whore in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And
so cliche, but and like, you know what? I don't even care about the kitchen part. I can make a bowl of cereal.
Neither do I.
You know?
But the whole thing is somebody as beautiful as Jane Seymour coming out and just telling the truth like that, what you're talking about is truth, it's really hard to argue with that woman. Sure. Everything else is unreal for guys especially. You know? And let them have their toys. Let them have their damn toys, because if you...
And the same goes for them.
Yeah.
Like, don't... Okay. You know what?
Seriously. Well, you know, I know where you went with that, you little pervert.
Fuck. No.
You know?
Why are there feet prints walking up the shower? Don't worry about it, honey.
Never mind.
The fucking... See, now I'm like, there's just 50 things, and I'm like...
Oh, I could put something in your head now for something really controversial.
Hang on to that. I want to keep talking about the relationship stuff just for a second. Why do people just continue to plow ahead if it sucks? Like, I mean, you guys figured it out. Like, she's her, you're you. You guys are okay with that. And
that's actually, she figured it out for me.
All right.
Yeah, I admit it. My wife is smarter than I am. You know, she just, you know, in her mind just, let him have his little mistresses down there in the basement, you know. They're inanimate till he goes down there and starts making noise.
Mm-hmm.
She loves music.
Mm-hmm.
She likes, you know, the band members that I have. And she's pretty much, she's one of those women.
Does it help that everybody's kind of hooked up?
In the band?
Yeah.
And then
does that matter? Or?
Two guys aren't hooked up. Well, one kind of is, and then one's about ready to get hooked up. But
all right.
It doesn't matter. I mean, she's around rugby players all the time, too. I mean, she gets to see that, and she kind of looks at them, but she scares those guys. She's a better shot than they are.
sure. I don't really know where I'm going with all this, but I'm just like, it just kind of came over me like a wash. Like, it's similar to what we talked about the last time you were here about, you know, there's always an elephant in the room, you know, whether you pay attention to only that elephant or, you know, you ignore it or whatever, you know, that's how things go for me. For a lot of years, all I did was look at the elephant, you know, and just life sucked. Well, then I was like the polar opposite where I ignored it. And, you know, now because of you, I kind of try to keep it balanced. But just this last thing lately, it's just like the honesty factor. And again, there's especially one giant fucking lie that I was part of that I made up that fucked everything up, you know, in recent times. So I'm not saying that I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not immune to this whole idea.
You're human.
Well, yeah, but like, what?
If you don't screw up, then you don't learn.
But why are people so afraid of fucking being just truthful?
Ego. Sometimes you just can't be totally honest with somebody. You really can't, because you would do more damage than you would help. So basically, that's when you have to keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut.
So you're saying, I mean, I've been to meetings and stuff, and, you know, omission is a form of lying.
Depends on where you put it. Really.
What do you mean?
If somebody's just not getting the concept of what's going on at the time, you see them struggling to get it and looking for it, and they're almost there, but are you going to do more damage or let them off the hook or let them be lazy by figuring it out for them? Or are you going to let them figure out that you knew, you hinted, but the biggest help in the world was for them to figure it out themselves, and you go back to them and say, yeah, I wanted to say something, but would you have listened to me at the time? Would you have listened to me? And probably the answer would be no.
Has this happened to you ever, really?
No, I usually just tell people to fuck off. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. And usually they tell me that it works good.
They don't just tell you anyway? That's what I would do. Like, if I came to you, I'm like, dude, I need some help. And you're like, fuck you. And I'd be like, no, here's the thing. I'm just fucking fine.
I would just say, if you're not dying or bleeding to death, go on about your life. If you're not dying or bleeding to death.
How do you, like, is it just, like, with age and with situation and all that kind of stuff? Like, how do you not, okay, I'm getting better at this, but it still happens every once in a while where one little thing will fucking throw me into a tizzy. Like, how do you not have that happen?
Oh, I get into tizzies all the time. I get into snits, tizzies, full-blown come-aparts. It's, you know, if I decide I want to let it bother me. Or if I'm, you know, stupid enough to let it bother me.
Is there any way to, like, you're saying, you know, let people off the hook. Like, is there any way to actually help people get to that point? Because this goddamn thing right here, and I'm pointing at a 32-inch monitor with Facebook on it. You're part of that. You're on there. Like, yeah. You see what people are like.
I think it entertains me. It's just like.
It does to me, too. I mean, like, there's a reason I'm there.
I look at it, and, you know, you see heartbreak. You see anger at other people. And you see, I mean, to me, some people use it as a sounding board, which is cool. But when it becomes that's the only thing in your life, time to back up and go mingle with real humans with real problems and real things. And the old saying, you know, if you go along and you help somebody more than you help yourself, it usually comes back around.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
It absolutely. You know, people call it karma, you know, they call it whatever they call it. But if you help somebody more than you help yourself in certain situations, it will absolutely come back to you.
Well, I'll be honest with this. Like, I try to do little things, like this last year more than ever, little things to, you know, try to help people out. And it's completely self-serving. Like, I feel like me doing this, you know, I'm trying to, you know, wipe a little bit more of the old me away. You know what I mean?
You know what? Don't wipe the old you away. That's you. That's what makes you now. Even if you're trying to be a better person.
Yeah. And
if I tried to wipe the old me away, man, I'd be out there scrubbing now and we wouldn't be talking and I wouldn't be playing in Concrete Effect. You know? That's the whole thing. That this is what makes you who you are. It's bullshit when the people want to make you relive your past over and over and over again because it makes them comfortable and they can't accept change in their own life and they can't accept change out of you. They can kiss my ass if they want to try and make me be who I used to be. I'm not that person. Right. Granted, I can go there real quick and I know how to be that.
Yep.
But I don't really care to. I don't really care to. You know, I've met so many cool people in the last 5 to 10 years from all walks of life. And it's just, you know, you really can't go back to being who you used to be. I mean, you get to interview people all the time from all walks of life. You hear little snippets that you kind of go, hey, man, I like that. And I like that's what they're doing. Uh-oh. I know that phone number.
Hello?
Hello, hi. I just noticed on Facebook that you have a certain gentleman in your studio. And I was just wondering if you could maybe ask him to bring home a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread and maybe a box of tampons.
Holy shit.
Please.
Who is this?
Hell no, next question.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wait.
Who is this? This is
his like blushing bride.
His mistress.
No, that's not my drums calling me. That's my wife calling.
Is this really your wife?
Yeah.
No, because how weird is this? Like, look at the screen. I thought this was her.
No, I recognize that number.
Oh, Jesus. What's her
you
name?
You thought it was her. Who, the mistress?
Yes.
No, Kimberly Henry.
She doesn't know how to use Facebook. She's too stupid.
My drums?
What's your wife's name?
Leslie.
Leslie, how are you? Hi,
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm all flustered because I actually I thought you were somebody else and you're not. So, but I'm glad you're here.
You thought it was his other woman.
Yes.
No, Kimberly Henry is not my other woman.
No, his other woman doesn't know how to use phones. It's okay.
Let me ask you a question that we've been talking about relationships and just like, you know, honest living and stuff like that.
Oh God, what is he telling you?
He told me you figured it out for you guys. What did you see in him that you were like, you know what? Yeah, I need to make this happen. Because apparently he's telling me that he's kind of a bag of shit. And
that I was a bag of shit.
No,
he said I was a bag of shit.
No, that he was. That he was.
Watch it. She's got loaded questions, bro.
Bring it.
He sang, and I heard his voice, and then I happened to like look over, and there was this like lightning flash in his eyes, and actually it was the rock that I threw at him, and I feel really bad about that. No, actually, honestly, he just seemed like a down to earth, real kind of guy. You know, didn't try to impress me. Because I freaking hate that. Because when people try to impress you, it just comes off as fake. And I don't deal well with that.
So you don't like a real cheesy pickup line, you know?
No. Oh, God, no. No, no. Because, yeah,
What's your worst pickup line, Andrew?
I don't have one.
No?
No. I'll bite him in the neck. Uh-uh.
You really do have, like, this fucking wolf pack mentality about you. Like,
hey. We're animals. We were put on this earth to do three things.
Mm-hmm.
I live by it.
And you're okay with that?
Although, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're on earth to, like, kill, breed, and, you know, chase down and scare the shit out of other animals that are in your area. So, yeah. Why the hell not?
This is amazing.
And when it all boils down to it, this is basically, you know, what we're here for, you know?
I told you she was
a good
shot.
It sounds kind of brutal.
Awesome. What kind of advice would you give? Because, like I said, we were talking about like relationships and like people that plow through shitty ones just because they're trying to, you know, not change their status on Facebook to, you know, it's complicated or whatever the fuck. Like for younger females, like, don't forget the fucking 18. Like I have no idea what's going on in that world. Like,
yeah,
for somebody like, say,
they don't have a world.
Well, they do, but it's
what
weird
advice and, would I give them?
Yeah, like to find an actual
for
thing,
the
like
whole...
like an actual thing that suits them. Like, what would you tell like a 25-year-old girl?
Instead of the, oh my God, he just broke my heart and I want to go kill myself, that kind of Twilight bullcrap.
Language.
I would just say, you know, be yourself, and you gotta be comfortable in your own skin before somebody else wants to even be near you. So
Jesus,
if
true.
You can't be alone by yourself and enjoy your own company, nobody else is going to enjoy you either. They're just going to fake it because they just want to, you know, procreate.
Be in your pants.
Copulate. Yeah.
Copulate.
Basically.
Wow.
The coetal bump.
That's a, yeah, that's a big one.
Fornicate.
Right, Jesus Christ.
What? What? That's truly, I mean, if
you know, Leslie, I don't know you well, but I don't really appreciate you calling my show and just, you know, spewing vulgarity. And
cussing and saying copulate and fornicate and all those
and,
$10
and
college words.
Territorial and... You know.
Oh, I know.
I told you, Toronto. She's a good shot, man.
Hell yeah. You're lucky, man. Both of you.
He's lucky that you don't appreciate me calling your show.
I'm
goodness.
Lucky. I'm a lucky. She ain't even paying attention to us, dude.
Really not. I'm actually watching my dog trying to copulate with a tiny little chihuahua. And it's disgusting me right now. I'm ready to throw a rock at her.
Do me a favor, and when you get off the phone here, go and YouTube Sad Dog Diary. You'll have a nice laugh about, you know, humping things.
Okay.
It's really funny. It's only like 3 minutes long, but it's really funny.
What am I Googling now?
Sad Dog Diary.
Sad Dog Diary.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do that. Okay, well, let me let you go, because I'm gonna throw a snowball at this little chihuahua real quick.
Yes, dear.
And send her home.
We appreciate you calling
talk
in.
You guys soon.
It was nice having you.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Milk, tampons, bread, yes. And tampons,
I'll
please.
Him.
Hell no. Next question.
Thank
Bye.
You. Have a nice day. Bye.
Dude, right. How weird was that? Okay, I get it now.
It was
like,
either
makes... going
to be Eric or her that Eric? Was going to call in.
Eric.
He's at the house right now. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you guys jamming today or what?
Yeah. You should come over.
Okay, that was another thing I wanted to tell you. I apologize for not coming
and
off one
Eric
day.
Eric is cooking today,
fuck
dude.
Fuck you.
Dude, you know all about it. You've seen the pictures.
It's not funny.
It is.
He, you know what he should do? He should get an Instagram account and just put food and just be one of those people.
No, he's ours. No one can have him. Right. Not even the internet. You need to come to the house, hang out with the band, and eat the food Eric cooks. It's unreal. It's unreal.
All right.
Eric doesn't even try, and he makes these masterpieces.
It's pretty amazing looking stuff. Sean chimes in, telling me not to let you violate me. You will. All right. Noted.
Violated.
Sorry, things kind of went off the rails. I wasn't going to tell you. I was going to try to make it a surprise. But
I'm pregnant.
I set up Kimberly calling us.
Kimmy!
Hello?
Hola.
Hello, pretty lady.
Hey there, Mr. Cook. How are you?
Mister? What'd I do? That's scary when you call me mister.
Nah. Nah, it's a sign of respect.
Well.
This is Kimberly Henry, my biological mother. It was really weird. Like, I had this whole thing set up, and I was trying to make it a surprise, and then his wife calls, and I'm like, well, fuck, now it's all...
She always screws things up for us, doesn't she?
Jesus. All right.
Actually, those two are friends.
No, they should be. They should be. I don't know why there's a weird echo. You hear that?
Yeah. You got a lot of feedback back there, Miss Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hearing me coming back all warbled like back when I used to drink.
How's that?
Awesome. I set up something for Mr. Scott here just because I didn't really have a big agenda for him. And you're the reason that him and I even got together. And I kind of gave him a little polishing at the beginning of the show about how, you know, he said one of the most influential sentences of my year. And if I trace everything back, the paper trail leads to you again. So how do you know this guy?
This guy stumbled into my gym one day, and he's just such a big personality that he became a friend.
It had to do with rugby, didn't it?
It did have to do with rugby.
This is what I'm not supposed to be talking about, is rugby.
Uh-oh.
What?
The band says don't talk about rugby.
Why?
I get all ate up on that stuff.
What does that mean?
Because I mean, that's how I met Kim. I mean, I went to the gym because I started playing rugby at 45 and I tried to get in shape, which I sadly failed. I tried.
No. Hey, Andy, Randy's here too.
Oh, hell. Randy may seem like a tall, silent type, but he's sneaky. Randy's sneaky.
No. I heard about every other word on him. There it is.
Put your lips closer to the phone, Randy.
Okay, can't me now.
You guys couldn't see this, but
here?
You guys didn't see this, but I mean, there was everything except the hand on the back of Andrew's head to the microphone just now.
Take Jesus the ribbon Christ. From your hair.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
So
yeah, when I've sent Randy off with Andy and rugby trips, it's been interesting stories coming back.
Well, burn one up, Randy.
I thought I used to know how to party, but apparently I really don't. See, we went to our first rugby. I went to my first rugby game with Andy and crew. And the first thing they had to do, see, this rugby game was in Steamboat.
Yep.
And the first thing we had to do was get two guys bailed out of jail in Meeker so they could get to the game and play. The game starts at noon, and the coach gets a phone call at like 11:10, and these two guys have been picked up by the police. They're sitting in jail in Meeker.
That was Bags and Silver, I think.
Yeah, well, it one thing led to another. It concludes with some dude running around the goalposts naked.
Zulu Warrior, he scored his first try.
Yeah. And then we went to a bar where they proceeded to sing songs that would make the devil blush. And we're driving back home, and it's like, I don't know, two and a half, maybe 3 hour drive. And we stop for me, what is a chance to go to the bathroom, meaning like a 30 second stop. And then come out, and everybody's ordering more beer. Stop to get home. They taught me a little alternative party attitude that I did not have previously.
Awesome. Well, we didn't,
and that's why you're not allowed to talk about rugby.
Well, you know, I would never tell on Randy ever. He paid me a lot of money to keep my mouth shut.
What goes on in a gray jail fucking bus stays on the jail bus.
Oh, that's pretty good.
There are some exploits that go beyond that, believe me. And I don't even drink.
That's the weirdest part. Like, everybody's like, oh my God, he's fucking legendary. But I'm like, he doesn't even like do anything. Like, why is he so great? Well, I know that, but we haven't had a chance to actually hang out.
Well, the whole thing is if you can't do it sober, you might as well not do it drunk. Because actually now I want to remember.
Oh, fair enough.
Because I'm getting old. There's blank spots in the mind. It's still kind of like drinking.
<That's funny. laughs> Oh, my goodness. So, Andy, how is your fitness these days?
My fitness has been actually pretty damn good. Let me tell you, it's called the Archuleta Physical Fitness Program. And this is how it works. You put on a 40-pound tool belt, you go to Vail, and you run up and down 3 to 4 flights of stairs all day long with Scott Archuleta.
Nice.
I actually lost 6 inches off my waist this year.
You should sell that stuff.
They got to go to work for Scotty. You know, Scott seems like this cool, mild-mannered dude and, you know, fun rugby mate and stuff. But when that dude goes to work, he goes to work. I got my girlish figure back.
So real quick, what's been going on with you? I haven't seen you in months. Like, last time I saw you was at the radio station.
Oh, gosh. It's been a really, really busy year, and I'm actually taking a little bit of time off just over the holidays for the first time in probably at least a year, doing a lot of voiceover, doing a lot of audiobooks and radio and fitness, just cranking it all out in all directions. It's good.
That's awesome.
Good stuff. I'm playing with grandkids.
Have you learned the effect of duct tape yet?
Oh, I knew that. I knew that one from way back.
Oh, back with Megan, huh?
Is that another rugby?
No, duct tape. That's how you babysit kids when you get tired of them. Especially,
it's called swaddling, I think.
No, especially when you got a sliding glass window. You tape their head to the window. That way, they can run back and forth.
That's funny. Oh my God.
They could enjoy that one too much.
All you got to do is replace. You got to replace the tape when they start drooling on it too much. That's it.
It's fun stuff.
Shouldn't do that. It's child abuse. Well, I appreciate you guys calling us up.
You bet.
You guys actually brought a little positive laugh to it. I've been sitting here kind of talking about ugly things, so we're gonna switch back to that, I think. But thanks for hitting us up, and I'll be in touch with you because I have a couple questions for you pretty soon. So,
all right, sounds good.
All right, Kimberly, Cam and Randy, nice to hear from you.
Take care.
Bye.
that was enjoyable watching you crack up like that.
Oh God, it's funny.
Seems like rugby is almost like Fight Club, like. If you're not really part of it, you don't really know much what's going on.
It's a whole other world.
Yeah.
It's a whole other world. It's sad to say my body's shot. I can't play it anymore. I might be able to play one or two old boys games, but I can't hang with the young boys now because they move too fast and, you know,
Hey, we talked about the HGH, man. I think you should just do that shit.
Well, I'm kind of waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if I ever get my hands on it, look out. there will be no management.
So let's get back to. You know what? That's another reason I've been in a weird mood this morning. Are you an MMA guy?
No.
UFC or anything like that?
No. I believe if you're going to do that, take the goddamn gloves off and go for it.
All right. Well.
No rules.
I think they tried that, and it's just not really a thing that is all that good. Like, there's another show that's trying to come off the ground. It's MMA, but they're trying to say the show is like bare knuckle boxing, and it's this weird like reverse glove. Like they have gloves, but then like the front part it's like exposed, which I don't understand why they have any of it anyway. If it's just going to be bare knuckle boxing, just do it like you said. But I don't think people care for it. Like there's enough of a science to jiu-jitsu and that type of stuff that people appreciate that more than just people beating the shit
but
out
you'll
of each
never
other.
See the Masters in the ring. You'll never
True
see
enough.
The Masters in the ring. There's a whole
that
different
is weird.
Concept
yeah.
because they respect their art and it's only used for one thing.
Interesting point. The reason I bring it up is because do you know any of these guys? Like, if I get through a name out, would you know anybody? I'm in a weird mood today because I watched Anderson Silva break his own leg with a right kick. What?
Stevel.
You know him?
Yeah, we're friends.
Really?
Flood of Souls. They won
Battle of the Bands.
Yeah. Congrats, Stevel and Flood of Souls.
I need to get out there and interview those guys. Like,
actually,
it's
those
funny.
Guys want to come over here and play.
Oh, really?
They really do.
Get them over here, man.
Well,
I got a place.
Get where?
Eagles. What?
To get these guys and another band out of Denver, there's a bunch of bands that want to come over here and play.
Oh, there's no money in it.
There's no money on it, number one. And granted, the Eagles, you know, can handle some of it. But when you want to... Actually, let's go to this subject.
All right, bring it.
Okay. You've got a place that sits between Vail and Aspen and Grand Junction. You have all these surrounding little towns and you know, pseudo cities. And then you have all these ski resorts and stuff. You have this city that could probably have some of the best bands, bar none, come into this place because they want to come to Colorado. We only have Two Rivers in the summer,
mm-hmm.
which is a really cool place to play. We have, and then we have the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
which is controlled by a different entity than what's usually controlled.
Right.
If we had a venue that we could bring these acts in, like we just played with a couple of really cool ass bands down at Grand Junction. One was Wayland. The other one was Royal Bliss. And that, it was just unreal because if we had a venue in Glenwood Springs to bring bands like Royal Bliss and Wayland in, it would knock them dead because these two bands are hugely entertaining, great music, great guys, and there's all kinds of bands like that that actually want to come over here. They actually want to come over here.
What about like Pac 3? I realize it's not Glenwood, but doesn't that... kind of fill the void a little bit, or not really?
You're getting into the jam bands.
Is it really hippie-ish type
yeah,
of shit?
It is, and it's cool for what they do.
See, and I've never been there. Like I know that they had like Reno Divorce is coming pretty soon. Fuck, who was that other kind of big band that they had come through there?
They had Ziggy Marley or somebody like that. Didn't
I don't care about that stuff. But like some of the harder type of stuff. Like I couldn't care about them. Like. No slight to these guys, but like, because I actually like their music, but I won't ever go to Carbondale to see them. But like Jack and Jill, from Grand Junction.
Yeah, actually,
like, I have their CD. It's great. It's like a little touch of like Dave Matthews sounding stuff, and I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not like in my backyard, I probably won't go see. Sorry.
Well, that's true, and
I feel
you know,
really bad because like we talk about doing the show.
They
all the time.
They do have a couple places to where they could open it up to something like that. Now, if they had a bar or a nightclub that could handle the capacity of it, and then, you know, when there's no bands there, be able to shut that whole area off and just have, you know, like a good sports bar type deal there, good food, whatever, that would be great. And
Big Daddy's?
The way it's arranged,
it's
they
not,
couldn't do it.
Right.
They couldn't do it. I mean, you cannot fit 300-400 people in Big Daddy's. The only places left is the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, Flood of Souls wants to come over here. I've talked to Stevel about it on a couple occasions. A Native American heavy metal band called Indaz wants to come over here.
Why do they want to come here? Just to expand the reach a little bit? Or?
To expand the reach. They want to go up there. They might have heard from Void how much fun it kind of was hanging out with everybody over here in Glenwood. Because, you know, I don't care what anybody says. The people around here are really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, from the rugby teams to the business owners, like, you know, it's really cool.
Once you're in, you're in.
Like, yeah, once you're in, you're you in.
Know, there's a lot of people that they kind of, like, they don't understand that concept. Like, if you're going to be in Glenwood, like, you'll have a lot better time if you're going to engage Glenwood. Meaning,
right.
Like, when Florindo's was around, it was an Italian restaurant that, you know, was downtown in Glenwood here. I went there constantly. Like there was a 2 year period where I went there like 3 or 4 times a week,
mm-hmm.
to the point where like, you know, I know them, you know, Florent and Rosie, like very, you know, personally. And like if they were slammed like on, you know, Thanksgiving week or whatever,
mm-hmm.
if they had one chair, they'd put me up.
That's cool.
You know, like that's how, you know, it was with us. And the same was with Colleen from Riviera, and she's gone now, but, you're right. I mean, this town is really cool if you're in the mix. If you're not, you're going to be like, this town sucks, nothing to do. Well, yeah. That's your fault. You know?
And you know, like the band, we did a benefit over here, and we brought Haven Effect in, and then we brought another band out of Denver called Void. And they were like a kind of a punk band, but rock, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were just cutting their teeth over there in Denver. Great guys. They got over here, they met the people, they just kind of fell in with them and had a great time. Now if any money could be involved, you know, getting these bands over here, like even pay for the hotel rooms, you know what I mean, they would come over here and play.
Maybe it's something that we could work on. Like one of the guys that I haven't had him yet, but Bob Noon, him and his wife were the ones that, you know, did the whole Summer of Jazz for, I don't know, 20 years, something like that. And, like, that guy's, like, arms dealer-level music promoter, meaning, like, he gets on a plane, and he goes to New Orleans, and he, you know, goes to all these little dive bars, and he finds fucking Trombone Shorty.
And you know? You just answered the question, or answered it all right there. Most venues don't have that kind of person. That's where you get the good bands at, when the venue has somebody to go watch these
to go
bands.
Yeah.
The one on a not on that big of scale to being able to fly there and get there, there's a girl in town that kind of has, she kind of knows how to arrange this. And I've talked to her on.
Who is it?
Charlie.
Okay.
She used to be the manager at the Eagles.
Yeah.
That girl works that business very well. I've seen how she does it.
Well, what's the hang-up? Just there's no place?
There's really no place that you can go, okay, let's say Royal Bliss, Concrete Effect, and Flood of Souls are going to be playing here tonight. Where? You know?
I have a question for you.
Hmm.
I don't know if you saw this, but I think 2 weekends ago, Metallica played in Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Obviously set up differently than a normal concert.
Mm-hmm.
They had one of those, you know, I don't remember the, I can't remember, think of the word, but those domes that, you know, the little triangle pieces that make up a dome.
Yep.
You know, 100 fans or so. In that kind of cold, normal amplification equipment doesn't work. You know, like it's too cold for shit to work. So through wireless or through Bluetooth or something, the guitar and bass amps were wirelessly played through, you know, headphones that the fans had. So, like, if you're in the dome during the concert without the headphones,
you don't hear anything.
All you hear is the drums and James singing. You don't hear any guitars. But really cool. I mean, they figured a workaround to get to the last continent and have a cool-ass fan one-off show, right? You mentioned the park. Like, why isn't that something that could be used all the time?
You know,
is it too cold to, like... See, I don't know enough about.
You know, that would be kind of fun to have like a winter festival out there.
Fuck yeah!
But people got to get over the fact that it's going to be a little bit chilly, and then they got to kind of cater to what the weather's going to be. You know, that would be a blast. I mean, that even brings me back to seeing the video of Emerson, Lake and Palmer in the middle of the Munich Olympic Stadium doing Fanfare for the Common Man. And, I mean, they're out there in their mink coats and whatever, you know. But they're in there. That would be kind of cool.
I just always wondered about that because I know that there's, like, you know, the city you have to deal with. But I don't think – I mean, it's there. And if you buy your permit for the show or whatever, I don't see why they would give a shit if it was used, you know, a little bit more than just the summer. Because it's literally 8 weeks in the summer, 1 day a week. That's the only time that shit's used. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they'll have, like, the one-off – what the fuck, that Yagata, Regatta, whatever.
I have no clue.
Whatever that is. I don't know what it is either. They'll have little weird festivals, and then somebody, they might have a band, like another day of the summer. But I'm like, you know, speaking of like, I mean, it's essentially unlimited capacity, you know. Now, I mean, the range of the music is a little bizarre. Like, you can hear it from, you know, the ball field or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, maybe not so much. Because there's no actual speakers in the thing, right?
Bring a sound system out.
Yeah, you have to bring your own shit. Maybe it's more work than I thought. But, like, I would think...
If you put all things in place, then it should be able to be made happen very quickly.
And I feel like, I mean, I understand the concept of, like, you know, putting a show together with bands that don't, you know, fit. And that's why some promoters suck, because they just grab up five bands and they throw a show. And, like, it's all different fans and it doesn't really make sense. And then, like, you know, one band finishes and all their fans leave, you know, that type of shit.
Yeah, that's like a Denver thing.
Oh, yeah, that's big-time Denver thing.
Huge Denver thing.
Dude, it's screaming about the scene over there. It's just such a mess. But what I'm saying is, like, I feel like if we got local acts, I mean, I don't know if it would work the whole way through, but, like, can you imagine, like, a day like today? You know, it might hit 40, but it's sunny and fucking gorgeous out. I'd pay $5 to go hang out all day and, you know, mosh pit in the snow and fucking booze and listen to you guys. I mean...
It'd be fun. It really would. It'd really be fun.
Well, why don't you get Charlie on it? Because I'm too lazy to actually
make any... I'll have Charlie call you.
I just always have wondered about that. And I know that it is weird, like, you know, I feel for Eric Smith down at the Mesa, you know, because he busts some ass to get some bands down
actually,
there.
Actually, Eric is... The ball's really starting to roll now.
Yeah.
We're playing there on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
We're playing with a Metallica cover band called Battery.
Battery! Yeah.
Very good, Trevante.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, you almost made my nipples hard. Stop blushing.
I'm not blushing. I'm proud of that.
Oh, he's really brought in some good bands. I mean,
he's had to stick his neck out a couple times, too, because...
But now he's got, I believe it's 95.1 The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's who's with him on this show with Battery, with us down there. But that's where we're with Texas Hippie Coalition, Eve to Adam, Royal Bliss, Waylon. I mean, we got to play with some really good bands down there.
So let's get the proper plug. You're right, it's the 95 Rock Presents Battery at the Mesa Theater and Club. So it's Battery, you guys, and who else?
That's it.
That's it? Okay.
That's it. We're going to get to play all our songs.
So Tuesday, 9 p.m., tickets in advance. I'm going to share this on Facebook. You can get $12 tickets in advance, 18 day of. I don't know if you ever heard of these guys, but we went to Belly Up a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
and we saw a Metallica cover band that was called It Should Have Been Lars. Fucking greatest name ever. And they were really good. And the one thing that was hilarious was like they all had wigs because they looked like say Master of Puppets era Metallica. And the singer didn't even play, but he went up there with the tiny white Guitar Hero Explorer and he just kind of fucked around with it. But they were really good and they were cool guys. So yeah, that'll be. I should go do this. I might come down there and watch this.
I think you should.
Yeah, I might do that. Because I've been trying to figure out what I'm going to do on New Year's Eve.
You should come down and hang out with us.
I might do that.
That would be really fun.
And then, yeah.
I might get lucky and have my whole drum set on that stage.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. See, all I got to do is bribe the sound man. If it's the right sound man, I'll buy him booze all night if he lets me set my drums up. I did. I had almost all of them the last time.
That's funny. I'm glad things are starting to get there for Eric because, like, I remember when he first got in there. Well, I mean, it's always a struggle, and we talk about it a ton on the podcast is, you know, fans bitch about, you know, like, go come there, come here, ooh, you know. You don't go see the other band, so the venues, you know, they got no swing, you know. But it is weird how, you're right, we are in this, like, you know, center of, all these, you know, big towns, like you'd think it would be better, but I guess there's just no place. I'm going to have to ask Bob about that because he must know some kind of code, you know?
It's, you know, this would be, you could make this a small mecca I mean, during the winter and the summer months, like when tourists are out here, I mean, you could throw some badass bands in here, and not just hippie jam bands, not just jazz, which I love, but rock bands, hard rock bands, heavy metal bands. I mean, bring them in. I mean, people want to play here. They want to come here. They really do. You just got to give them a place to play. Absolutely. You just got to give them a place to play. Good sound, good lights, and a good sound man. And they'll just become endeared to this town. I mean, I like it. There's cool people
here. Do you think that
here.
Eagles, if it wasn't Eagles, is a good venue?
Yes. It just has to be set up a little different. Huh. They almost have it. They almost have the design down.
Well, what's missing?
The positioning of the stage. Stage should be turned 90 degrees.
Oh, and put on one end of the room?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it plays away from the bar and towards the audience, and it gives the audience more of a room. And that way, the upper end, you know, like where the green room is and stuff, mm-hmm. that whole area should be opened up. And they should fly their speakers and not have them sitting on the floor on stands. That gives fans more room to move around. They almost have it. Yeah. They almost have it.
I've been in stadiums. Like, I was on the floor of Mile High watching Metallica, you know, pitting, right? I'm afraid to pit at the Eagles just because, like, well, for one thing, like, a loose pit is always dangerous, you know, because then you get velocity and bodies really coming at you. But then also you have a lot of sharp edges, stage, you know, fucking speakers, and you're going to go down. You will hit the ground at the Eagles for sure. That's funny how did they miss that? Because, I mean, that would make the room almost twice as big.
Yeah, it'll give it more depth and more time for the sound to actually produce itself. Now it just bashes up against the wall. You could hang a few sound tiles up at an angle up above.
Have you mentioned this to anybody? I realize that they...
Do you think anybody would listen to me?
Maybe.
Ooh.
I feel like they're still in the receptive mode of, like, I mean, they've done a lot in the last
yes.
year and a half.
They
know?
Actually purchased a PA system, a couple of lights. Mike Vogel did a pretty good job for us every time that
he's
we
a good
played
dude.
Them. He actually, he's one of the sound men that'll come in and say, what do you want, guys?
Yeah.
What do you need? And he will try and, you know, do everything he can to get our sound.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of are lucky. He heard us, you know, in a studio fashion or in a rehearsal fashion before he heard us live. So he kind of had the edge.
Oh, okay.
You know, he kind of knew what we were going for.
Well, and that's one thing that's weird about you guys is that you actually came out with studio efforts before you even played live, right?
Some demo stuff.
Well, even that. I mean, there's bands that are on here that they still don't have a CD you can buy. Which is, I didn't realize how much it costs to actually, you know, produce a CD now. Or, you know, digital, whatever. If you have it done, like, properly. Like, you know your stuff, and you guys can kind of do it on your own, right?
We do, but in the situation we're in, we know what we want.
Right.
Okay? But for some odd reason, you know, we just cannot get it with what we've got. So what we did, and we came to an agreement, we're going to go to the best recording studio in the state of Colorado and probably one of the best in the West, and it's Colorado Sound. And Eric knew somebody there. They got us a great engineer. They've got a producer in line right now for us that knows about what we do. So we're just going to go in there, and we're going to go, this is our stuff. Where do
you
we
guys
need
to, do it?
Yeah, you guys do it. You guys take control. You guys get the sound. This is basically what we're doing. So, you know, we're paying a lot of money to go in and do this, to use top-notch equipment and use top-notch people. There's a point in time to where, as a band, you need to just say, hey, cut the shit and let somebody else who really knows how to do this do it. You know, when you're pushing 20 buttons to get what this other guy can do with one button, use him. Pay the money. It saves you time and headache.
Tell your wife to stop following me around. This is weird. She just started following me. Why don't you add me as a friend? What's wrong with you?
Because she's torturing you.
She probably will report me and I'll end up in Facebook jail for asking for her back.
No.
Well, that's cool. Like, that's one thing I've noticed a lot recently, especially with the bands that I've talked to, which haven't been many. There's a handful. But there's real, I wouldn't say control issues, but I haven't really heard anybody say that, you know, this is what we do. Now we're going to, you know, put out the money for somebody else to make it, you know, something better, you know, or something different. Well, and even with this, you know, like I'll tell you this, like I'm really open to any kind of criticism or suggestion as far as this thing goes, like constantly, like, you know, there's a little hum, and, you know, it's fucking free. You want to buy me a better board than either that or go fuck yourself. But I definitely feel like there's only a few people that I'll take certain criticism from. Like, well, Eric Smith is one of them. Like, he, you know, we talk every couple weeks or whatever, and he'll be like, yeah, you know, I listened to that one show with blah, 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 and, like, that was really good, though. I like the way you did that, but, you know, maybe next time you should, you know. And I'm like, oh, fuck, you're right. I don't take every suggestion, obviously, because, like, then it's not me, you know.
True.
But, I mean, even with this show, I feel like a real, like, you know, huddle over the whole thing. Like, this is mine, fuck you, you know. You guys don't feel like that, really? Or?
Actually, I think we covered our own separate sound because I know how my drums should sound. I know how I want them to sound. Eric has worked 25 years to get the guitar sound that he has. He covets his sound, but neither one of us are adverse to saying, okay, could we get a little bit more here, a little bit more there? Jim's the same way. He knows his bass sound. Sean came into the band as a singer and a lyricist, okay? Sean has, you know, really morphed with his singing. I mean, people who used to know him or knew him when he was in his prior bands and listened to him now sing, it's, you know, they've said it's like day and night. Sean has just morphed into this, you know, singer that we can push anywhere. We can push his vocal range anywhere now. Lyrically, he's, you know, we kind of leave it up to him lyrically. Yeah. Guitar-wise, I mean, Eric throws down some crazy shit at him, and, you know, Sean will just go woodshed and, you know, come back with the knowledge of it. But we have such a strong idea of what we want, but we just can't seem to get it ourselves. So that's why you go pick a producer and an engineer that actually knows what you want and knows how to get it. It's worth the money. I mean, you have a bunch of studios around here that I would use as pre-production studios. Go in there, have that person record your stuff, and then play with it, and then take your stuff and play with it some more. And if you are not comfortable with it, you'll spend $300 or $400 right here. It's an investment. Then go spend a couple of $1,000 at a real big studio. Pick your producer, pick your engineers, do whatever. But you'll come back with what you need. You will come back with something that you really enjoy. And if you know, it's just a working relationship with you and the music. There's some times that you have to back up and let somebody else have control.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. If I ever get a producer, I'm sure this would be a lot better if I wasn't the only one controlling it, but it's a lot of work.
Nah.
My shit's easy. Let's see how far we've gone here. We're pretty good, yeah, about an hour. So we got the New Year's Eve gig Tuesday, Mesa Theater for you guys. Anything else coming up or not really?
Actually, we will be in the studio in the middle of January, and that's what we're doing. We're at Colorado Sound.
Where is that? In Denver?
That's in Denver.
Okay.
And if you look them up, this place has recorded a lot of top-end musicians, so they're really good. then we will have at least a 4-song demo out. And I mean, this will be the legit recording. We will have, we're working on all our bling now, our t-shirts, our, you know, lady stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking you were going to say it.
The band won't let me get ball gags, though.
Why?
I don't know.
Seems weird.
I don't know. They look at me real crazy. I said, get ball gags, you know, with concrete effect on it. And they look at me, what's wrong? What do you mean, ball gag? Well, you know, we're looking for, actually, we're looking for a supplier of ball gags that we can get Concrete Vibe printed on them.
Concrete it, what?
Or Concrete Effect, son I'm sorry.
Jesus
I'm,
Christ.
My mind Did is, any... okay, you can slap me.
You better hope they don't hear that.
Concrete Effect printed on it. And, you know, you can hang it from your rearview mirror. You could wear it around your neck at the gigs. Oh, you're being a dick weasel.
Yeah, a little bit.
You're being a dick weasel.
Is that going to hurt you?
No. I still got a t-shirt left over. I can make you wear it.
I need 2 t-shirts. I need to make my band, remember?
Which?
I need a Haven Effect t-shirt also.
Oh.
So help me out there.
Sean, he needs a Haven Effect t-shirt.
Well, buddy, we got a little off the rails on a lot of different stuff, so I don't know if we actually covered anything.
Oh. Open doors, so I walk inside.